Brady rolls to his right. Pressured. Moves back left. Pulls up. Pressured again. Brady goes down. Sacked at the 19-yard line.
He's got nobody to go to. Nobody.
Pulls up. Throws deep downfield. Ford Dorsett into double coverage. Picked off. Intercepted by Darius Slay. On second down and a yard and a half. He's pressured from the blind side. He's sacked from the blind side. Brought down by Eli Harold.
Hey, this is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown.
Three-time Super Bowl champion.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we welcome to the desk.
Troy Brown. You like it, right?
You like that, right? Nice hot dog. 98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Last night, the Patriots lose to a team which had a headline in the Detroit Free Press a week ago that said, the lines need to be cleaned out and it's going to take more than an enema. That was an honest headline.
They gave up 47 points to Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Week one.
And the New York Patricia, Jets in week one.
Week one, the headline in the Detroit Free Press is Patricia in over his head. That's week one.
They gave up 48 to the Jets, 30 to the 49ers.
He's a winner.
That's a very bad team. Troy Brown.
You know Belichick did that. He lost on purpose to help out his guy.
That's right. He's very loyal in that way. Troy Brown, hello, sir.
What's happening, man?
Well, I'll tell you what's happening.
Good times.
So we're doing a little hot sports talk.
Was it a football game last night?
We're all well rested, as you can tell.
All right. So is this how bad is this? If you look historically, this is a team that looks at the first four games as an extended preseason, la la la.
But that was bad.
So does every team.
Okay, the Lions preseason is still going on. In terms of talent and the ability to get better, where does this rank in terms of, like, other Patriots?
For me, I have to be honest with it, man. This is pretty scary right now if you're looking at this team because you're used to seeing this team play this bad, the first part of the season, especially defensively.
Yeah.
And the offense just finds a way to outscore the other team. That's kind of what it's been. Even when they didn't have Tom Brady those first four games, they just outscored everybody. They should have went 4-0 without Tom Brady, but they didn't have a quarterback to play at practice that week. Brissett was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He played that game. I don't think he practiced all week. He played that game with a bum thumb. So, and they barely lost to Buffalo in that game. So it was an offensive performance for them. So, and then now you look at this team, and they can't outscore anybody. So that's the scary part about it, that you're used to seeing Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, somebody, work their magic offensively and be able to just outscore people. And now that's not the problem. The talent's not there offensively. You lose Rob Gronkowski at tight end, you got Jacob Hollister, which he wasn't even active last night.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, and you look at the running back position and you have Sony Michel, and now you don't have – Rex Burkhead, you just never know when he's going to be active. So he's always hurt.
Yeah.
Tremendous, sure. Tremendous player, but he's always hurt. So, and for whatever reason, we didn't see a lot of James White. So, I don't know. I don't know why, but.
Well, it was a brilliant game.
So you didn't see a lot of him. And then you look at the receiver position, and it's like a non-existent position right now. And so what do you do offensively? So.
You pray.
There's no answers, and we can put everything on the fact that Josh Gordon may be ready in a few weeks, but what are you gonna get from him? We just don't know. We saw one game he played this year. He caught one pass for a touchdown, which is that's a positive sign. But what are you gonna get from him on a consistent basis in this offense?
And how do you know? And you don't even know what Julian Edelman's gonna be when he gets back. He's coming back from an injury. So,
how much of a difference does Edelman make?
He will make a big difference in the middle of the field. He and Gronk working inside of the field somewhat. It'll be, less opportunities for them to double team Gronk all the time. So, and if teams have decent corners, we can match up our best corner with Edelman and take our chances there. If him beating our guys, and then let the couple guys take care of Gronk and let the rest of those guys just kind of go wherever. But he'll make somewhat of a difference, but you still need that guy, just somebody to be that Brandon Cooks from last year, to be able to stretch the field somewhat and, mm-hmm. Make the defense respect the possibility of your team being able to go over the top on him.
Explain to me, Troy, why the wide receivers got zero separation against single coverage last night and hung their quarterback out to dry.
I can't really explain it other than the fact that it's not their strong suit. Cordarrelle Patterson is just he's a gadget guy, you know. And
that was a busted route. The intentional grounding.
It was two in cuts. It looked like an old play that we used to run called like Ride 130 Exxon.
Okay.
The old 130
Exxon. Write that down for future reference.
It looks like you know, just a two man combination there where you got an in cut, and if the safety jumps the in cut, and you take the post over the top, and it looked like both guys ran the in cut. So and that
but since Patterson was on that side of the field, you have to assume he thought Patterson would go.
I think you heard him talking about it. It sounded like he was thinking Dorsett was going to be the guy.
Okay,
yeah, John, you dumbass.
But you know, at this point in the season, a simple play like that, you don't expect those guys to bosh that up.
Yeah,
you know, get that right. And at least, I mean, you would have guys fighting over the opportunity to be the guy to go catch the long ball.
Yeah,
they both ran the end cut, and then he just threw it down the field and got an intentional ground, and that's how bad it was. It was called intentional grounding. So I'm like, the guy just ran the wrong route, but they were so far out of place that you had to drop the flag on it. So it was, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things right now where Chris Hogan's your lead receiver. He's basically averaging one catch a game. I don't count all those little garbage catches in the fourth quarter. I don't count that stuff. So
yeah,
the points,
yeah.
I don't count those points either. So this is a team right now averaging about 11 points a game. And, you know, that can't beat the Detroit Lions.
Okay, something like this. it's unbelievable.
Your hometown.
Oh, they're back.
I have to remind everybody of that.
it's where I grew up, and they allowed a 100-yard rusher yesterday, which is hysterical.
Without Barry Sanders.
Right, yes. Right, and even Barry Sanders, they won a playoff game. So this is historically awful for the Patriots. I can't tell you. I'll tell you all morning how bad the Lions are. They're horrible. The idea that they did what they did last night is fascinating. And they were missing their two best defensive players.
That wasn't an exciting win. That was a beatdown of the Patriots, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a domination by the Lions last night.
Yes.
Never thought I would say that.
I know.
Because you never will again.
And it's weird, too, because I know that the team is – Brady doesn't have enough weapons to throw to, it seems like. But it almost seems like even if he did – did he get out-coached? Did Belichick get out-coached again yesterday? Because it seems like in three of the last four games, definitely in the Jaguars game, he was out-coached. Definitely in the Super Bowl, he was out-coached. Was he out-coached last night?
Yeah. When you see those kinds of margins and then you see, you know, some of the play callings, I have to give him a little bit of a break because of the situation offensively when it comes to the talent part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how do you put together a game plan, you know? And
but it's kind of his fault as well.
Yeah.
So
that's basically all of his fault.
Yeah.
If you're picking the groceries, so I just don't know how you put that together without James White being a big factor of that. You know, when Burkhead was in there, he was being effective somewhat at the end of the second quarter
mm-hmm.
when they were actually moving the ball.
Yeah.
But now I guess I understand why he's not in there. Just the fact that he gets hurt so easy now. So, but. They Patricia put together a pretty good game plan. He knew the guys he was going up against and knew their weaknesses and obviously figured out that they couldn't fix what they did wrong last week, and they didn't. They weren't able to cover the backs.
Yeah.
They weren't able to cover tight ends or whatever. So it was just same thing you saw last week from the Lions, and you actually got Matt Stafford to not throw the ball 70 yards down the field every play and take the checkdowns.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't talk this morning. I haven't had much sleep. So.
Join the club.
I think my tongue needs to wake up a little bit.
All right, Troy Brown is here. 617-779-0985. A terrible loss by the Patriots yesterday, and a team that doesn't look like it's going to get much better. And we will continue to talk to Troy Brown and revel in what is the Lions' greatest win of their franchise history. And we'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Troy Brown in studio, 617-779-0985. John, go ahead.
And my question's for Troy. I have a question for you. Do you really think the Pats are going to make it to the playoffs this year, the way they're playing so far?
You know what? That's a great question, because it's so hard to tell right now, because I usually try to say you want to go 3-1 every quarter of the season. And obviously that's not going to happen this quarter. And you look at next week's game against Miami, who's 3-0, you know. And you look at some of these wins, saying that this would be an easy win for the Patriots. This would be an easy win for the Patriots. And now you look at next week's game against the Dolphins, and you can't say that right now. The way this team is put together, you know, I think Miami has a really good chance of coming in here. And if the Patriots go 1-3, it's going to be really, really, really hard for them to, you know, run the table in two of the next three quarters of the game.
Yeah, they're 1-3
of the season, and
three games out. If they lose, 1-3, three games out of first place, and they're down in the tiebreaker. So to the team they're chasing,
they go 11-5, then it's a possibility they can get in the playoffs there, you know. But then going back down to they're going to have to go back to Jacksonville or Miami in a playoff game, and that usually doesn't work out too well for the Patriots. So
now, yesterday, it was interesting after the game. There was the rumor that was essentially confirmed that Rob Gronkowski was on the trading block right before draft day. And Rob Gronkowski gets liberties that I think most players in the Patriots don't when it comes to speaking to the media. Obviously, he's able to say things that a lot of people...
Like maybe he just takes them.
Or he just takes them, right.
And then what are you going to do to me?
But it's like, what are you going to do? Right. I mean, he's a star player.
You're not going to play me? Okay, good. Have fun with the loss.
But if you didn't hear it, he was asked about the rumors, and Gronk basically said, yeah, they're all true.
There was a report today that said you were almost traded to the Lions but threatened to retire. Just wanted to get your comments on that.
Yeah. It happened, and Brady's my quarterback. That's all. Wasn't going anywhere without Brady.
If you're Bill Belichick, what do you think of him saying that to the press?
Well, you don't like when your players say anything else to the press, so I'm sure he didn't like that comment. I think because Robert Kraft was on record earlier this year stating that it was hogwash, you know.
Oh, that's right. That's
so,
right.
And now, you know, you get a situation now where your organization, you got two guys on record now speaking on it. So, like I said last night on NBC Sports, it was these guys are just, you know, somebody's lying. So that's the bottom line. So and so this is the reason why they don't like, you know, too many things being said to the media, because you get contradicting statements about stuff. And, and that's where you are now, you know. And
well, you would think,
I guess, Rob gave his candid opinion on it. This is what happened.
Yeah, like you would think that you would lie so Rob Gronkowski didn't know about it. Like, and so, but if he knew about it, like what the hell are you lying about?
Well, it's because it doesn't make anyone look good. I mean, you obviously know why the Crafts did that, because if they want to be loved by the fans. I mean, there's nothing they want more than to be loved.
Any discussion about trading somebody that you love, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski.
Of course not.
Julian Edelman.
Well, did you read, Troy, did you read in the, there's a new book by Ian O'Connor about Bill Belichick, and he says that Belichick wanted to get rid of you a year earlier than you when you retired, but Kraft stepped in and said that he was not to do that.
You said, did I read that?
Yeah, you hear about that. Were you aware of that?
No, but I was always prepared to get whatever, trade it, cut, anything. So,
but the idea was that Kraft stepped in, that he was so fond of you that Kraft stepped in and like squashed that deal.
I never heard that, you know. But
oh, baby, I'm telling you things you didn't know.
Yeah, so I never.
You got another year. You got another year of pay.
Yeah, I did. So I'm happy for it. So, you know, happy for that, man. So I'm glad he did that for me. But you know, so I'm always appreciative of anybody to do anything like that. But you know, it's just, you know, right now, man, the way things are around there, man, you look at that statement by Gronk last night, just kind of, you know, instead of dampening the flames a little bit with everything that's been said about the Patriots over the last year or so,
yeah,
all the rumors, you know, it's like, it's got people thinking. Even last night, it was a buzz last night on the show last night just about, you know, what about this old story? What about that old story? You know, maybe was that true? Was this true? And all the Wickersham stuff and this person's stuff. And
yeah, I mean, so, there's been enough out there now, and they have people on record now.
Yeah, but it's kind of it kind of just brings that stuff back.
Right.
To now, like, you know, guys like us can talk about it, you know, and
and
have something to talk about the rest of the week. So, I mean, it just, it does. It gives it life.
Right.
Again. Instead of, you know, and this is why Bill just kind of wants that stuff to just be kind of just get buried and people can't forget about it and you don't talk about it anymore.
So, what do we learn? If you ever want the truth, just ask Gronk.
He's like, go ask Gronk.
Incapable of lying.
Yeah, but he was even like, go back to the Super Bowl when they asked him about the retirement stuff, and he was like, "Well, who told you that?" He didn't knock it down.
Yeah,
he's like, "Who told you that? Where'd you get that from?"
So it's refreshing.
That's what's good about great about Gronk. He's not going to give you some BS. And
Chris Gronkowski was wasted at a Hooters, and he was just telling everyone who could listen.
That's the best way to get info is just follow people's family members around. Yeah.
My friends!
Buy them some drinks.
Well, Chris Gronkowski tweeted last night. He said, when your tight end gets double covered and no one else can get open.
Yeah.
So
he's right.
I mean, he's absolutely right. You know, but I mean, obviously that's something that, you know, if it was anybody else but Rob Gronkowski.
Catch Patriots players at the Reliance game and you can get all the info you want, huh?
Well, they're about to go to the Bazooki Lounge and see the fine strippers at the Bazooki Lounge. Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Troy.
Good morning.
I want to ask about Marvin Jones' touchdown on Stephon Gilmore and whose fault you think it was. And if there is any communication problems in the secondary still. And I got one more question. What are we going to do about the linebackers on the running backs? Because they just get exposed. So I don't know what they're going to do.
Which one you want first? You want the Marvin Jones touchdown first?
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll do the
Marvin Jones touchdown. Yeah. It's if you look at that formation, it was a reduced split by both of the wide receivers, meaning they were in a tight split closer to the line of scrimmage there. Yeah. And when they do that, you know, the corners both play outside in leverage and they look to the other corner and expecting crossing routes because they have those reduced splits. So, and that's what happened. Marvin Jones started across the field. And usually when they do that, either the other corner or the free safety drops off and picks that guy up. And it looked like Gilmore was expecting that to happen from either Daron Harmon. I forgot who was playing corner on the other side over there, but that didn't happen.
Jason McCourty.
That didn't happen.
Side,
and, right? Yeah, and it could have been some miscommunication. Jason McCourty, again, not used to being over there and playing, you know, with these guys.
Cause Gilmore
you just kind of look up.
He pointed. He pointed where Jones was going, you know, and then Harmon went the opposite direction.
When you saw the splits, that's what you either expecting that or some deep corner route or something to kind of throw you off. But, you know, you see it coming, and you just kind of tell the guys whatever bracket it. You know, if your guy starts across, which he did, and my guy starts across, we're just going to switch, you know. And the free safety stays in the middle. I couldn't see what exactly held Harmon. You know, he actually stayed in the middle of the field and actually came to Gilmore's side a little bit, which is what he, you know, I didn't see exactly what happened with him, whatever held him there. But that should have been a play that should have been easily covered, you know, by the Patriots on that particular one. What was the second one there now?
Linebackers.
Linebackers,
yeah.
How can you get them to
competence.
Well, I just you're gonna have to do some agility and speed training drills. So I mean, I don't really see that happening. I mean, I'm not trying to be sorry. I'm just giving you a serious answer because, you know, that's a part of the game now, and the way the game's played now. You look at what Jacksonville did to him last week. They're trying to close the game out with what was a minute or something left. I think the Patriots had maybe one timeout left.
Yeah.
And they actually, all they had to do was throw it one more. I mean, run it one more time and make the Patriots use that timeout or whatever, run 30, 40 more seconds off the clock. And you're under a minute to go in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they were actually throwing the football. I mean, it was a safe for a pass over to Corey Grant. And the Patriots couldn't get out the field. Third and four, I think it was. And they threw the ball behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And he made Hightower miss. He made, I think that was Van Noy, and I think Malcolm Brown came over and got in the mix, too, and none of them could make the tackle.
Does it look like Hightower's hurt to you? We were talking about that.
Yeah, there's plays where he looks really strong and really aggressive, and then there's times where he just doesn't look like the Hightower from a couple of years ago where he was playing really fast and just anticipating everything and getting to the ball, and I just don't see that in him right now, man. So, and I just don't know how you get it back in the middle of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, how you get get your team just to play better or play faster in the middle of the season. They've been doing these recovery days, I guess, what I've been hearing. It doesn't seem to be working a whole lot. So it's just, you know, you're supposed to be fresh when you have recovery days.
I think I might have asked you this before. When you look back at the way that you guys practiced and trained, and then you look at the way that it is now, do you think you could have played longer if you would have had these things?
Yeah, I would be... me and Adam Vinatieri still be kicking it, man.
So I love Vinatieri because he's older than me.
He's
the one guy.
Tell me about it. I mean, recovery. Like when things went bad for us, man, there was no such thing as recovery days. There was full pass, contact, during the season type practices, man. And I'd be going strong right now at 47. So
you're 47?
I'm 47, man.
Oh, Jesus.
Lord. Yeah.
I'm 43. You look like, if you had to guess how old I was, what would you
43.
Guess? 43. No. Now you're saying that.
You would guess I was 60 years old. Jesus. 47. Screw you. Looking young. Just lets me know how close to death I am.
Yeah, you're good, man. You're in good shape.
Well, now I've heard everything. All right.
Can you play linebacker?
I might be able to outrun one of those guys. All right. We'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 5 Sports Hub.
Play fake to Johnson. Awesome. And Stafford slides to his right, throws down the middle. Pass caught by Golden Tate. Tackled by Jonathan Jones at the Patriot 30-yard line.
That's what Jacksonville did last week. A little underneath fake, and they're running the crossing routes. And they're just blocking him up. I mean, he's got all day to set his feet. 18-yard strike right up the middle. Deep crosser right to left to Golden Tate. Stuck it right on him.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. There's this like HD channel that they play in the halls.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a kick-ass metal station. Playing Balls Into the Walls by Accept.
Okay.
Someone's just like, it's 6 in the morning. Let's listen to Balls to the Walls.
That was one of the better Beavis and Butthead videos that they watched.
Well, because he's Dolph, whatever his name is, was a very tiny man.
Udo.
Udo Bennett? No.
Udo, like, Kirkenstein or something like that. He had some, like,
German. You got your balls to the walls!
We have Troy Brown in studio this morning.
Except coming in at 9 a.m. Mike, go ahead. You're on.
Yeah, I was just curious about what you guys thought on Belichick, the decision-making in the past 2 years, and not just the depletion of his receiving corps, but, you know, the depletion of talent across the whole team. It's like he's trying to sabotage him with all the. You go back to the Garoppolo trade and the return on that, and the not playing Butler, letting all these guys walk. I mean, I'm watching Miami the other day, and you take this quick slant, you grab it like nothing, bang, you get the first down, and it's like, are you kidding me? And we're over here watching this, just thinking what you guys thought. Thanks.
What do you think?
Yeah, you look across the league. I mean, Brandon Cook's top 5 receiver in the league right now, so the yardage wise. So
Chandler Jones,
guys are producing. You know, I think the big thing in the past, people always talked about the guys who leave New England, you know, don't produce. You know, and that seems to be not the case anymore. So guys are actually leaving and actually playing pretty good and playing bigger roles on their team. So. Talent-wise, as far as guys that have been drafted to this football team haven't produced a whole lot over the years. You can go back, you know, how many years you want to go back and just look at some of the talent they brought in. You know, it's just not panned out the way they wanted to pan out, especially at the receiver position. So I think, you know, Malcolm Mitchell was a good player, but they drafted a guy that was damaged goods when he came out. So
right,
and you knew this. So you kind of rolled the dice on it, and you lost, you know. And it's not been a good run for them as far as drafting players. I mean, they've kind of hit some guys in the free agency market, you know, bringing in guys like Ninkovich and guys like that over the years where they've done really, really well, you know, with outside guys. But, you know, that's part of the game too. So you got to give them some credit for that. But, you know, just getting draft picks ready to go, you know, I think you're starting to show right now as far as the depth of this football team. Because you can talk about guys at the linebacker position and, whatever, you know, this guy might be good for this, being able to play the run and this and that. But, you know, teams now, they don't, you know, if you look across the league, everybody has those 230-pound linebackers that can run like the wind and cover and run with some of these backs and tight ends and be able to play every down.
Mm-hmm.
So teams don't care now because against the Patriots because they got big guys on the field that can't move as well. And when they should be running it, they're throwing it, you know, yeah. with quarterbacks like Blake Bortles. So and they don't care. They're going to throw the football when they have to, when they have opportunity to do it.
Yeah, last 2 weeks, so Blake Bortles has a career game against them.
And they went right back in the tank yesterday.
Yeah, and then they allow, and then they and then they went down to their. Well, you had to expect that. I mean, that was their.
No,
Super
but
Bowl.
It was shocking how bad he looked yesterday after looking like a world beater against the Patriots.
But that was their Super Bowl. I mean, I expected a little bit of a hiccup, maybe not a 9-6 game or whatever the hell it was.
He was awful yesterday.
But and then you allow 100 yards to. It's like Haley's Comet. You've had two Haley's Comet moments two weeks in a row.
Well, 5 years. 70 games.
That's crazy, man.
Yep. 70.
Crazy.
That's unreal.
Well, we last week had you on, and it was before Josh Gordon was signed, but we asked you about the rumors that were out there, and you told us that you thought he was one of the most talented players you'd seen since Randy Moss when you saw him in person. But then you also said that you'd rather have Dez Bryant than Josh Gordon. Now that he's on the team, do you think they can make this work? The Patriots.
Well, I think for the Patriots' sake, you certainly hope so.
God, you do.
I'm kind of used to making those Super Bowl trips every year, so it's in Atlanta this year. I like Atlanta, so I want to go back.
Atlanta's
you guys
want
to go back to Atlanta?
Atlanta's the only one I've ever wanted to go to.
All of us really want to go.
I want to go to New Orleans. They didn't make it to the New Orleans one.
I got to go to stupid Phoenix and get up at ass crack at dawn. Atlanta, I know people. Let's do this, but it doesn't look like that's the case.
So it's just. I don't know how they're going to build, perform. If he can't be dependable to be there and be on time and be all those and just be in the right place, learn this offense enough that they can get him on the field on a consistent basis, then I just don't know who else they can put on the field. I mean, he'll be back, you know, in a couple of weeks, but who else are going to be able to put on the field to be able to really, you know, step it up and score enough points and put those points on the board to beat some of these teams? Because, I mean, you're losing to the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty bad. You're losing to the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad. And I think they're showing exactly who they are. They're 0-3 right now.
I thought that was a good win at the time, too. And
now we all did.
Okay, well, maybe not.
No.
That team's a mess.
By the way, J.J. Watt's not very good.
Well,
defense
doesn't look very good right now either. J.J. Watt, Merciless, none of those guys look very good.
They're talking about possibly blowing it up if they lose again. If they go 0-4, then you start to look, okay, Bill O'Brien, even though he signed that massive contract extension, has to stay. But, I mean, J.J. Watt's 30 and still not back to what he used to be.
Surgery.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they're talking about now, okay, who can we trade off and build around the quarterback we have? And the quarterback's no bargain either over there at the moment.
Right. Nope. So, they got, I mean, beating a team like that, you would be, you know, they beat the great defense, you know, but no, they're not great at all. I mean, they're 0-3. And I just don't see where you have the pieces to build with. And I don't see where you can go out and find the pieces in the middle of the season to build with. You know, nobody's going to put a linebacker that can actually play on the market, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to trade a guy like that. Nobody's going to ask to trade a receiver that can actually get some separation and run routes and do those in the middle of the season. So I just don't know where you're going to piece it together.
Well, hold on. Suppose you get something out of Gordon. Maybe you get a small package of plays for him, and he crawls before he walks, and you get a couple of deep balls to him. You have Gronkowski out there drawing double coverage. You have Hogan away from the slot and on the perimeter where he belongs, and say Edelman comes back to 80% of what he was. Is that enough to get this offense up and down the field? I think it is.
If you can get him on the field enough for that to happen, to free up some people, you know, put him on the backside of Gronk, even on the same side as Gronk sometimes, to make it harder to even double team one or the other, you know, and take him away. It's my thing with that is just I'm still on that thing where, you know, I'm not a gambler, man, but, you know, I know you can get more money when you bet against the odds, right?
Yeah.
You know, so, and right now, the odds of him being available to this football team the entire season are pretty low. And I'm not very confident in him being there for the rest of the year. So just, you got to judge people by their track, look at their track record, and you got to judge them by that. You know, I don't like to judge people, period, but that's what you work with, you know, when you're dealing with people.
And you questioned his love of football.
You questioned his love of football. I mean, the guy could easily be a $100 million guy. You know, I mentioned last week, Brandon Cooks got $80 million, never had 10 touchdowns in a season. So barely over 1,000 yards last year, and he got $80
million. Right.
So he could, Josh Gordon easily could have made $100 million by now.
If you're the Patriots organization, do you think that they're giving extra effort to surround him with people that'll help, or is this kind of one of those things?
Listen, no doubt.
Okay, so what are they doing, do you believe?
Well, I saw yesterday warming up. He had Jack Easterby there helping him warm up.
Is that like the chaplain?
So he's like the chaplain.
Yeah. You know, that's right. So he's got the chaplain throwing with him.
Okay, doing everything they can to make sure, you know, you got good people in his ear all the time, and I don't blame him. You know, and, you know, the guys, obviously, I feel like can help your football team if you can get him on the field.
Yeah.
You know, and get him on the field, you got to keep him out of other places. So, and away from certain things.
And
obviously, it's a tall task.
Well, we had Rob Ninkovich, he heard us talking about it the other day when we were on the air, and he said football players, and we were talking about, are the players going to be there trying to help him through things? And he said football players are not drug counselors and shouldn't be anyone's responsibility to watch over someone. Is that, I mean, do you kind of have the same feeling?
That's a very accurate statement. You know, that's, you know, you didn't pay me to come here and do that. You know, yeah, well. But while we sit there in the locker room and you can, you know, give a guy some advice or whatever and do certain things with them and go to dinner, you know, it's still not a situation where if you had a free bed in your house and your kids and stuff were asleep when you get there, hey, buddy, come on, stay with me. You know, when you know the history.
Right, yeah, right.
So while you put your kid in a situation like that or whatever, you know, who's coming in and out of your house. And
yeah.
So, and still that situation you got to deal with, you know, but. You know, you can't go home with him because you got to go to your own home, you know. So it's just a situation where you can't be with the person 24/7 and coach him up and, you know, keep him on the straight and narrow. So I think it's a pretty accurate statement by Ninkovich on that. You know, you're not expected to. Well, we weren't trained to do that.
You ever toss the ball to the chaplain?
I don't think I have.
Once you get the chaplain involved, everything's good.
I don't think I've ever seen a chaplain in practice. You know, Jack, he's a good guy, though. I mean, he's obviously.
Listen,
he's a chaplain, so he's a good.
He's wonderful.
I like him. He's a South Carolina guy, too, so.
I'm sure he's a great guy.
Is that a new euphemism? Oh, that guy's tossing the ball with a chaplain.
Yeah.
Is that someone you got to keep an eye on?
Well, if you ever watch MASH, they can be very persuasive.
Right.
Now, are the Patriots better equipped to take on someone like Josh Gordon than other organizations, because it certainly seemed like Cleveland did all they could do.
Are they better equipped?
Yeah,
I think Ninkovich said it all. I mean,
okay.
none of these guys are trained to be counselors or a therapist or whatever it may be.
Yeah,
you know, but every locker room has a priest and a. I'm talking about as a player, you know, a guy that's, you know, really really religious and whatever the faith may be. Every locker room has that. Every locker room has great people and great guys that, you know, do a lot of great things. And problem, I just wish the best for the guy, regardless if he makes it or not, you know, that he gets himself cleaned up.
Of course.
So
I know a guy who was on the Lions when Kitna was quarterback, and apparently that blew everything up. Like, Kitna would have these, like, big, like, revivals at his house.
Yeah.
And then, like, half the team wouldn't go, and then it, like, created this, like, big schism in the locker room. So,
yeah, so you got to be careful with that, too, because it could go the other way where you get guys that try to force their religion on people.
Right. Sure, sure.
And you shouldn't talk this way in the locker room. You shouldn't do that in the locker room, and it becomes overbearing on people sometimes. Or where'd you go last night? You went to, you know, you get that situation. You've heard stories about that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Where,
yeah.
You know, it's just, look, I can't stand to see that sucker coming right there, man. Always talking about this and how I'm living and you know. You get that, so it can go the opposite way when you get too much of that.
Yeah.
Was there ever a team? Room. Did you ever have a team tattletale? Like somebody who would tell the coaches when someone
Troy
was out
Brown.
Late?
Yeah.
I don't know if there was tattletales. Or there was rumors of tattletale guys in the locker room, you know, but I can't recall anybody being a person like, you know, I don't know if I want to talk to this guy over here.
Yeah.
Did you ever play with anyone you hated?
That's a yes.
I can't say I hated people.
Yeah.
There's people just like, you know, you just like, oh, I hate to see this guy coming right now.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Sure.
You know, they play with a couple of bullies.
Oh, yeah?
Especially in my early days.
Oh, really?
Now, how does that work? If someone's like being a bully, what's that situation?
then you try to find a friend that's just as big as him. And you become friends with him and then get him to be on your side.
It's like prison.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's like, basically like prison. So,
you look to the left and call a defensive lineman over to block you from the offensive lineman that's bothering you.
What do you think about so-and-so over there, man? Yeah, I don't like that cat, dude. You know?
Yeah.
So, and then, so, you know, just like, you know, but I played with guys that just kind of like bullied and you know who they were trying to bully and it was always the smaller guys. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was just,
What was it, the kicker there? Pushing him around?
Kicker always get picked on.
The kicker, receivers, you know, guys like that, you know.
All right.
We weren't trying to fight anybody.
Well, no, I would imagine that.
Look, we were just trying to look good, you know.
Yeah. Just break your hand and then you're
a little bit. Then you don't have a job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, indeed.
The headline is Troy Brown breaks his hand fighting a much larger individual would be the headline. All right, Troy Brown, thank you. I appreciate you coming in. It was a very late night for you. For some reason, NBC Sports Boston deems it appropriate for you to do an hour and a half postgame on a game that ended near midnight. But
we can make for a tough night, man.
Yeah, but we do appreciate you coming in.
Anytime, man.
And I'll tell you this, is that someone that would have inspired you, Troy, is Ray Lewis. I'm sure that if he was around,
what you got for me today?
That he would have been very inspiring. Well,
you got something to play?
We got Ray Lewis Day this past weekend in Baltimore. It was Ray Lewis Day.
Oh, yeah.
And he spoke.
And anytime he speaks, it's.
Well, I want to hear this before I leave.
All right. Well, you got it. We'll play it in just a moment when we get back.
Yeah, we will play that in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.